This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire for Friday, December 31st. It's the end of the year, ladies and gentlemen. What an exciting day this usually is. End of the year, start of another one. Everybody's got their New Year's resolutions all queued up. I hope everybody had a great week. I took a couple days off of the podcast, traveling to parts unknown to see family. It was a whirlwind trip. I won't bore you with all the details, but essentially, I like to save time. I think time is our most valuable resource. It's the most important resource. And as such, I like to fly on red eyes. So I flew a red eye east earlier this week and a few days hanging out with relatives. Since we moved west back in 2016, I have only been back once where friends and family are in a lot of New Jersey, Pennsylvania. And that was for my wife's dad's funeral. And other than that, I haven't really been back. So I haven't seen a lot of people. And I was able to see a lot of, you know, my wife's side of the family. We went and saw my brother and his wife and their dog. And just a whirlwind trip for a lot of fun. And I was able to get some reading done and R&R, as they like to say in the industry. Well, rest and relaxation, a lot of digital therapy, you know, like not on my phone all the time. And watch a little bit of bowl games, but they've largely been crappy. But as we'll talk to with our guest shortly, Brad Powers, it's been a lucrative run. I teased it on Twitter. I know I should be putting pics on Instagram stories, but again, I'm trying not to be on my phone the whole time. You watch the first like three or four series of these bowl games, and you can tell who wants to be there and who doesn't. It's very evident. And this week, almost every game, it's like one side just has no interest in playing and, you know, they just don't care. And that's when you smash the live betting. And I mean, I'll quickly go through a couple of the games, but it's been like blowout city. Oregon, you could tell very quickly, Oregon just had no interest in being there. And Oklahoma crushed them with Stoops. I mean, it was a bloodbath early. Maryland jumped all over Virginia Tech. I mean, just annihilated them. Texas Tech and South Carolina on Thursday with an easy one. Again, you wait for three or four series, you see where it's headed, and then you hammer the in-game betting because I don't know pre-flop who's going to show up. You just don't. And so I've been waiting on them in a different strategy with these bowl games. Again, with COVID, the opt-outs. We'll talk with Brad Powers about it. You can't really do this in the college football playoff because they all want to be there. And I don't know if it applies as much to like a Rose Bowl. But we'll see. We'll play it by ear. So we'll get to Brad Powers shortly. NFL picks at the end of the podcast. The only real – I didn't miss much this week not doing the pod for a couple days. Oh, Carson Wentz got COVID. Then they changed the COVID rules. You know, it's like NBA still canceling games. G League guys are getting their shine. Like, there's no great storylines. I know the Lakers still floundering. Not going to close out the year by dumping dirt on the Lakers. Trust me. Once the NFL regular season's done and the playoffs are here, there's not a ton of line movement. It's a really tough market. And we'll be doing plenty more on the Lakers, who are, as we record this, seventh in the West and three games out of entirely missing the playoffs. But you don't really care about the Lakers. I think you guys do care about Ben Roethlisberger. And he's starting to come to grips with his retirement. And he basically said, hey, you know, this Monday Night Football against Browns are going to be my last game at Heinz Field. Probably going to be an emotional game. Probably going to be one where Ben tries his hardest and really puts everything forth. And guess what? The Browns probably crush him. Cleveland is taking all sorts of money this week. They seem like they're pretty much the side here, and they're healthy, and they're back. And I don't know, guys. It's tough for me to make a case that Ben goes out on top. More likely he's benched. Psych! There's no way they're benching Ben in his final game in Heinz Field. But I'm more excited for, you know, the end of Ben's career, because guess what? Then the Steelers, who pretty much have a playoff team, right? Offensive defense, they're good. Their offensive line is terrible. The play calling's got to go. But you get them a quarterback, and I think you could really make a really strong case the Steelers are right that back in the thick of things in the AFC. I mean, they're no Chiefs, probably not the Bills, but the next tier, what, Titans? I mean, come on, Dolphins? Like, really, Steelers can't hang with them? I mean, we don't know if the Bengals are going to keep this up. Frankly, if anything, I would be looking to fade the Bengals next year. Zach Taylor, we knew coming in, he's not a good coach. Burrow can only bail them out so much. And with the first place schedule, remember, they were last place last year. First place schedule is going to be a tough one. And I still don't trust Zach Taylor at all. We will actually get to a little Chiefs-Bengals later in the pod. But yeah, I don't think the Steelers are totally done. A buddy of mine who has been a longtime Steelers fan, listens to the pod, gambles. You know, I was going to ask him, like, dude, Big Ben had a great run. And it's like, oddly, we don't feel that much of a connection to these stars, you know? Ben won a Super Bowl. He's had a great, I think, 18 seasons at Pittsburgh. Awesome run. But again, for me, it's like, okay, who's next? You know, and I felt that way about the Jets for the longest time. Like, Mark Sanchez had 2 good years game managing them to the AFC playoffs, AFC championship. It's like, Sanchez stinks. He's gone. All right, who's next? And I know Ben, 18 years, Hall of Fame. Yeah, I get it. But Troy Polamalu is an amazing safety, retired. Okay. You know, that's the one weirdness about my sports fandom. In the NFL, I don't get massive attachment to players. And I don't know that many do the way they do in the NBA. Like, because one guy in the NBA can impact things so much. In the NFL, like, most of these guys, honestly, how much are they all worth to the line? You know? You leave the NBA, like, Steph Curry has to miss a month, and the Warriors go from the best team in the league to, like, I don't know what, 17th, 20th? Like, come on. So, I don't know. Ben Roethlisberger had a great run. I'm not denigrating anything. Just saying, like, hey, you know, congratulations. Enjoy life after the NFL. And without further ado, let's get to our guest, Brad Powers, college football handicapper extraordinaire.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
All right, let's welcome back into Straight Fire, college football guru. I don't know what we want to call him. I mean, he's all over the betting scene. And the last time he was here, with tremendous information and bets. Brad Powers, how are you, man?
Excellent. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you say excellent, but this bowl season sucked. I mean, financially, it's been pretty good, but the games have been awful and a lot of cancellations. How's it going for you so far?
It was a slow start as far as, you know, the betting scene, at least for me. But I mean, last 3-4 days, I mean, it couldn't get any better. I mean, all the information, I mean, if you've been following the line moves with a lot of these games, I mean, it's just been, you talk about straight fire. I mean, it's been straight cash money on a lot of this. I mean, you look at like a Western Michigan, Nevada game, a line that moves 2 touchdowns, doesn't matter what line you get in that game, all the bets on Western Michigan won. With bowl season, it can be, you know, you could have some of your worst losses of the season, but you can also have some of your easiest winners. It's just a very high variance type of situation right now that we're looking at.
You know, the one thing I noticed, Brad, is a lot of these games, you can tell in the first 3 or 4 drives which team wants to be there and the other team just doesn't care. And like, for instance, Oklahoma, Oregon, you know, basically that's one of these like, oh, Oregon, they don't seem that interested. Oklahoma, big plays galore, Stoops, and it's just blowout city. Are you doing a lot of in-game betting at all this bowl season?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, certainly if my pre-flop, my pre-game betting is wrong, I want to get off that position. I mean, thankfully, there is a thing called in-game live betting where I can get off some of those positions that were just incorrect. So I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think this bowl season is showing you that the future of betting football is not necessarily waking up on game day and an hour before kick betting. Wait till the game starts and you can bet live and actually see a couple drives and see if a team's, you know, really wanting to be there, especially during bowl season.
Yeah. Now, I will say for the college football playoff games, I don't know if that strategy will apply as much because they obviously care. They want to be there. You know, hopefully this changes in the future. We have like 16 or 12 or whatever playoff you want. But I'm curious how you're handicapping the Cincinnati-Alabama game because, you know, Brad, I really want to make a case for Cincinnati, but I've been down this well before. Hey, man, I think Michigan State can probably hang with Alabama. I think maybe Notre Dame can hang around. And then you're like, okay, saving a month to prepare. It's game over. Are you making any case for the Bearcats? And I will end by saying I think the SEC is 0-4 in bowl games so far this year.
Yeah, so you hit a ton of astute observations there. Number one, You know, we've seen almost every bowl game, you're seeing huge line moves. I mean, whether it's 3 points, 7 points, or even more than that. You're not seeing that with the semifinals. So why is that the case? It's just not that the numbers are sharper. There are no disparities as far as motivation. All four teams obviously want to be there. All four teams want to win and advance to the national championship game. So we haven't seen hardly any line movement other than maybe a point or two on a couple of totals. With as far as Alabama, I'm with you. It started probably with that Michigan State game 5-6 years ago. I bet Michigan State pretty heavy. I lost. I can tell you that was the last time I faded Nick Saban in a semifinal.
Connor
Cook,
baby.
Look at his last five semifinals. He's won them by 20 points per game. And you could say, oh, this point spread looks a lot. Well, I mean, he laid more points against Washington, laid more points against Oklahoma, laid a bunch of points against Notre Dame. He's winning them. He's winning them with margin. He didn't cover last year, but they could have easily covered if not for that late touchdown by the Irish. I mean, it might sound square, but I bet Alabama. I can't talk myself into Cincinnati. I mean, to me, with that army of analysts that Alabama has, and they have 3 weeks to dissect Cincinnati, Cincinnati doesn't have an army of analysts breaking down tape for Alabama. I can only go with the Crimson Tide.
I did go with a little nibble on the under. Because I wonder, you know, Alabama, is that they're up 30-7 in the late third quarter, and it's a blowout. Does Saban, they're not pouring it on in the semifinal. They've still got another game to go. Do they just grind it out? You know, and they have a huge edge in the trenches. I looked on the two deep for the Bearcats. They don't have a 300 pounder on the line. And is Alabama going to do some bully ball here? A lot of ground game. Any thoughts on the total?
I bet the under. I had to go with my favorite bets that I made in the semifinals, probably under 59 was my favorite bet. And I bet that, you know, immediately didn't move too much. We're starting to see some under money trickle in. And to me, just, you know, look at the projected score of this game. It's, you know, right around Alabama 36-22. Alabama 36 points sounds good to me. Can Cincinnati put 22 on Alabama? I'm not sure. And again, you're right. I think Alabama gets out to an early lead. They probably play conservatively, run the football, get some first downs. And look at, you know, last year's semifinal. Put the offense away against Notre Dame in the second half. I think that's the case again here. I mean, get up to enough margin where you feel comfortable, and then, you know, it's the focus goes towards the national championship game in the second half. I think that's the case in this one.
This is more narrative-based, but I think everybody's probably going to be rooting, you know, for the little guy against Bama here. Now, Alabama does have a freshman quarterback. Obviously, he's great and online to be a number one pick down the road, but is there a case where Cincinnati comes out and has like a Boise State feel to it, where they try a bunch of gimmick plays, catch Alabama napping maybe? Do you think there's an element of surprise from the Bearcats?
Yeah, there certainly could be. And I think another question you got to ask yourselves on, you know, which way you're going to bet in this game. Are we going to get the Alabama of the 12-game regular season where they struggled against Auburn, LSU, Arkansas, Florida, Texas A&M? Or are we getting the Alabama that we saw in the final three quarters against Georgia? I mean, you answer whatever way you answer that question is where you, which side you're taking in this game. So, look, I'll say this about Cincinnati. I know a lot of people are rooting for the little guy. I actually think they deserve to be there. I don't think it's a charity case in this instance. I mean, I thought Cincinnati proved themselves against an SEC team last year. They should have beaten Georgia outright in that Peach Bowl game last year. So, I mean, sure, they'll dial up a few things, but the thing with Alabama that's made them the best dynasty in the history of college football, it's just not that they're the most talented. They're the best coached. So, I mean, I just don't – they're not a type of team that you can fool a lot. And out, you're not out-scheming Alabama.
Yeah, it's a tall order for Cincinnati. I think Georgia, Michigan probably is an easier bet. Now, from the looks of it, everybody's going to be on Michigan. The public bettor, casual guy, $50, $20 bets. Hey, Michigan killed Ohio State. They bludgeoned Iowa. And Georgia got smoked by Georgia's a fraud. Come on. And I think that's probably the read. So if Michigan's a public dog here, isn't that kind of the bat signal to load up on Georgia?
I would say wait then if you're looking to bet Georgia, because the public's going to bet on game day and they're going to see that enticing hook on that on a key number of 7. So 7.5, they're going to want to take that half point on Michigan. So I would say if you didn't bet Georgia already, I'd wait. I think you might see some 7s. I did lay 7 with Georgia early on in the process. And I for exactly what you said, everybody's overreacting what they just saw last, what they see. Ohio, you know, Michigan crush Ohio State, crush Iowa. Georgia had their worst performance of the season. I like Georgia in this matchup. Obviously, they're a more talented roster. I think that was a reality check for them against Alabama, where that'll get them refocused. And I think Michigan's probably a little overpriced at this point, considering the fact that, I mean, they're the best team in the country ATS-wise. So if you've been betting Michigan, you've been cashing tickets all year, why wouldn't you go right back to them? Yeah. So I think Georgia's the sharper side.
I'm curious as to your thoughts on Harbaugh, who, I mean, again, before 2 months ago, Jim Harbaugh was fire this guy. He's a clown. He can't beat Michigan State. I mean, I think he was 0-12 as an underdog before this season. And now all of a sudden it's, well, Harbaugh's back. I mean, Jim Harbaugh knows football. He's got his guys lined up. Where are you on Harbaugh?
Well, I think he did a really smart thing. I mean, you look at the average age of your assistant coaching staff, and Michigan's in the top five as far as youth movement. So he went a total youth movement this season. And I looked, I'm not going to say, I don't lose bets. I'll tell you a bet I lost. I bet Michigan under their season win total. You want to talk about a dumpster fire of a bet. And I always, self-scout after the regular season. And what did I miss on Michigan? And what did I miss on a bunch of these other teams? And a lot of it came down to young staffs. I mean, I don't know who these 30 some year old kids are. They don't have much experience. So I wasn't buying necessarily on the buy train with Michigan being one of those teams. And I got to tell you, I mean, it's something that I'm going to look at towards next year. I look for the youth movement, because all five or six of those teams that went youth movement this year, they were some of the best teams in the country against the spread, including Michigan. So the fact that an old school guy like Harbaugh would do that at this point in his career, I mean, I tip my cap to him.
Is that kind of what Saban has done? Wow, I hadn't thought of that. Because Saban has a million coaches and a lot of young guys usually. Who's this guy? Bill O'Brien, offensive coordinator? He's not exactly young.
Well, Saban's you could put him off with Belichick. There's always exceptions to the rule. Yeah. Saban would be one of them.
I am curious. Again, it's projecting, but how do you look ahead to the Alabama-Georgia rematch? I know the whole tough to beat a team twice thing, that's going to be trotted out a million times. But is there a mental hurdle for Georgia and Kirby Smart with Saban? Because I'm going to go ahead and guess that Alabama is going to be favored by not much in this one, right? Would you agree or no?
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting number. I don't see it three either way. I think a lot of people will be surprised. I mean, I actually still have Georgia ahead in my power ratings. Wow. I mean, they were just a 6.5 point favorite over Alabama. You don't adjust teams' power ratings at this point in the year, several points off of one performance. But like you mentioned, I think there is a mental hurdle. And until they overcome it, I mean, sure, I could see Alabama being a slight favorite. I would tell you this. So if Alabama's a 3-point favorite, I would bet Georgia. That would be my buy number.
That would be a 9-point swing from the game a month ago?
I don't see that happening. Oh. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If you'd ask me right now, what's that line going to be? Open up. I think it's going to be pick. I think some people are going to have Georgia 1-2. Other people are going to have Alabama 1-2. I think it'll settle right around pick 'em.
So then where's all the money? Who's betting against Alabama on a pick 'em? I think everybody's backing Bama, right?
Obviously a lot will depend on the semifinals. So you hate to overreact to just one performance, but I mean, it is the semifinals. It is two highly motivated games where, I mean, you'll take a lot from that. I would say the public will be on Alabama. No question about it. They're going to bet Alabama. I think some of the professionals will be on Georgia just because we're taught you don't overreact to one single game performance. You're not adjusting teams 3, 4, 5 points late in the season.
So the big element that I'm looking to see from Georgia is, will he have a quick hook on Stetson Bennett? Because we know JT Daniels. I mean, Brad, I sat in a room prior to the NFL draft with this quarterback coach, Jordan Palmer, and he could not stop hyping JT Daniels to me. I work with JT Daniels. I'm telling you, this guy's going to be big time, and JT Daniels can't stay healthy. Yep. But I mean, I don't know where you are on Stetson Bennett. He can do your taxes. He could be your accountant. But is he going to win you a college football playoff game, Brad? Stetson Bennett?
I don't think he will. I mean, he can obviously win you a bunch of games. But as far as, that next level, I mean, you look at the quarterbacks that won national champions. You can't win with a game manager. Nick Saban's telling you that. He had, Greg McElroy, A.J. McCarron 10-plus years ago. Now he has Heisman Trophy winners at quarterback. So I don't think Georgia can, unless Stetson Bennett plays the game of his life. And we might actually see, forget the national championship game, might have to see JT Daniels against Michigan, to be perfectly frank.
I would not be. I mean, it's been a month, but it's, what's weird is, and you know, we don't get injury reports in college football, which is annoying, but I don't know what's going on with Daniels. Like, good luck finding out anything. Like, the reporters have zero access. If anybody has access, it's the big money gamblers, but I'm still not seeing anything of, if it's, I mean, is Daniels going to play at all? Like, shouldn't he?
I'm hearing whispers that, he rubbed some of the coaches the wrong way. I'm not sure if it was the injury the situation. I mean, you can't count on a guy. I mean, the best ability to have in a lot of people's eyes is availability. And if you're not available to play, I mean, I'm sure. I mean, some people are reporting that the unit's kind of in the doghouse with the coaching staff.
Wow. That's interesting stuff. All right. So that's great stuff on the college football playoff. Brad, I don't know if you would mind going just a couple games on the NFL. Have you looked much into week 17? I know you're huge on college football, but have you done
let's do it.
Okay. All right. One of the games that jumps out is Dolphins Titans. Titans are, I think, 3.5. It's a juice 3 at best. I think these Dolphins are totally fraudulent, and I kind of like the Titans a lot here, but again, it's, you know, Ryan Tannehill and AJ Brown, and then they don't really have much else, but I'm not a huge Dolphins guy here.
So we don't go over anything prior to, you know, we flip on the record button and then we just talk here. The Titans are my favorite play of the week.
Oh, nice. So, All right.
I mean, and it's basically a fade against Miami. Not only, you know, Miami and their 7-game win streak, who are they beating? Best team is probably Baltimore. And in that case, Baltimore's on a short week. That was a Thursday night game. They're a little bit banged up. So, I mean, I think they're overrated in that regard. Also, it's a horrible spot. Back-to-back road trips, short week off Monday Night Football. Yeah. I mean, the whole world watching beat up Ian Book, a four-string quarterback, and a very shorthanded Saints team. Meanwhile, the Titans are getting healthier with A.J. Brown. They have extra time to prep this time of year after a Thursday night game playing back-to-back home. Again, it lines up for me as a top play of the week.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I am curious. This Philadelphia Washington is puzzling because Philly is playing well on the ground, but I don't. It's a big number to lay on the road with the Eagles. It's probably a stay away for me. I don't know if it's going to be a contest play. Do you like Washington at all?
I like Washington quite a bit. One of my favorite plays of the week. I mean, to me, it screams a kind of a pros versus Joes type of game. The Joes just saw Washington get crushed by 42 points on Sunday Night Football. You know, I trust Ron Rivera as a guy that can get his team motivated. He's not going to lose his team down the stretch. And keep in mind, I mean, Washington, you know, had won 4 straight. And then what happened to their team? Well, COVID happened and they were missing a bunch of guys. I just think the Eagles, another team like the Dolphins, that have really benefited from a soft schedule the last 5-6 weeks. I think playing with pressure here, I certainly don't want to lay 3.5 with the Eagles on the road.
Baltimore and the Rams. Rams are 3.5. Baltimore's killed me a couple times with this Harbaugh going for 2 at the end of games business. I mean, it looks like Lamar practiced a little bit. He had a pretty pronounced limp. I like the Rams here. I remember the Packers were 9-point favorites. I think they closed against Tyler Huntley.
Yep.
Won't the Rams be at least a touchdown against Huntley if Lamar can't go?
Well, I think this line's telling you that Lamar's closer to playing.
Wow.
I've really gotten crushed by the Ravens here. Lost 2 or 3 big bets on them the last 5-6 weeks. I'm not involved on the game. I'm guessing the week that I don't play the Ravens will be the week when they pull an outright upset.
Two games with huge favorites. I try to avoid the double digit favorites. I don't know that narrative matters though when you have such highly rated power teams like Tampa Bay and Buffalo going against garbage teams like my Jets. And Atlanta, and Atlanta is garbage despite being close to 500. Are you still avoiding double digit favorites, or listen, if there's a situation, you'll lay it?
I shouldn't be. And in fact, there's actually value. You look at the last like 6, 7, 8 years in the NFL. I mean, there's actually value on the double digit favorites.
Oh.
And the reason being is, you know, guys like myself that have been in the business a long time, we're kind of afraid of laying it. So it's either dog or pass. And a lot of times, you're not getting that sharp money on the favorite like where it should be. So there's some mispricing there. The NFL's totally changed. Number one, it's higher scoring than what it was, obviously, 15, 20 years ago. So, you know, that should favor the double-digit favorites. And we're also seeing, you know, we're seeing the college football. We're seeing the NFL down the stretch of the season. I'm not going to use the word quit because it's a little too strong, but there are significant motivational disparities, and you see it in preparation. So, yeah, I am more inclined now than ever before to lay, you know, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I like it. All right, Brad Powers, where can we see your stuff? I know you got a powerful newsletter that a couple of my buddies subscribe to. And then what else you got coming up, Brad, for the new year?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter at BradPowers7 if you just want little nuggets. And you can check out my website at BradPowersSports.com. And you can check out my weekly newsletter. I cover every single college football game, every single NFL game.
Yeah, all right, Brad. Hey, thanks for taking the time, and happy new year to you and yours.
Hey, happy new year to you, and thanks for having me on.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
Great, great stuff from Brad Powers. He's backed by popular demand, guys. Had a lot of requests for him because we do put out, you know, mostly to friends, text message, even in the DMs. People liked Brad Powers' stuff, and we agree a lot. So hopefully this will be a great college football playoff for me and Brad as well. Let's get to quickly some NFL Week 17 picks. I did the show with Jeff Schwartz and Sammy P on Thursday. And the more I look at the board, I don't love this weekend. I think some of it is that I'm still disappointed the Chargers lost and killed me in Survivor. So I'm a little still salty about that. But as I look at the board, you guys know on Monday I came out and said the first bet I made was the Chiefs at 4.5. It's up to 5, looking good. But the world seems to be on Kansas City now, which has me a little nervous. And you know, betting on Kansas City now is at the height of the market, right? They're as high as they could be. They're the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Everybody loves them. They've won. They haven't lost since they were 3-4. So just be a little cautious there. And that Bengals injury report is looking better. They get their middle linebacker back, who should help out on Kelsey. And one note, and I talked about this on the Thursday gambling show for Fox Sports. Tyreek Hill was quoted after the game last week. You know, he caught 2 passes on the opening drive and nothing the rest of the way. He was exhausted and he blamed COVID. You know, he was coming off COVID. So Travis Kelce, now coming off COVID, was vaccinated but stayed on the list longer, could not play last weekend. He's back. I know it's like a big homecoming for him going back to Ohio. He's going to want to absolutely dominate. But Bengals' best cover linebacker's back, Wilson. And you wonder how he's going to respond, Kelce, that is, to COVID. We really don't know. We've seen some guys come back, no problem. TJ Watt, memorably, was one of them. But otherwise, other guys have been impacted by it. So I would be a little careful laying Kansas City. This seems like it's going to keep going up and away. But that was the first bet that I made. I've already talked about it on the pod dating back to Monday. And again, the guys who tune in just Friday waiting for the picks, that's not how it's done. Honestly, this has to be a thing you do every day. You really got to look. If you want to be successful, good. You got to do it every day. You got to look at the lines. You got to look at the injury reports. You got to see which way things are going. I'll tell you right now, 2 big favorites that I do like. And again, I'm not advocating long-term strategy is betting double-digit favorites, but Tampa Bay 12.5 at the Jets. I don't care about the Arians COVID. Listen, Brady gets it, obviously all bets are off, but I did lay it 12.5 Tampa at the Jets. Listen, the Jets can't do anything offensively. We know all they can do, all they want to do, is run the football. What does Tampa do as good as anybody in the league? Stop the run. And if you can't run, you got to pass. And Zach Wilson against that Tampa secondary, looks like Winfield is back. And I'm sorry, Elijah Moore actually may play, which is a stunner. I thought he was done for the year, but looks like he may give it a go. I don't like the Jets here. And again, I don't really mind the loss for the Jets. As long as they get a top 3 pick, that'd be awesome. And they have Seattle's pick. I'll get to Seattle in a sec. The other big favorite is Buffalo. I did lay it, and you look at the numbers. Buffalo against bad teams. And yes, I'm sorry, folks. Atlanta is a bad team, okay? Atlanta, when they faced anybody over 500, they've lost. The only win against a team that is currently over 500 was Miami, and that was early in the season. You know, that was when, like, Tua was his second game back, and Calvin Ridley was still on Atlanta. So, like, the Falcons were much better than they are now. Offensively now, they're so challenged. They're just not a good offensive team. There's no way they keep up with Buffalo. And I think the Bills really want that 2 seed badly. I mean, who wouldn't? And I like Buffalo. I'm almost certainly going to be taking them in the contest. Those are 2 favorites that I like big. And a stat that I read about Tampa Bay, to go back to them. Tampa against teams that have 6 or fewer victories. 5-0 straight up, 5-0 against the spread. Tom just puts a hurting on the bad teams. We talked briefly about Philly and Washington. And with Brad Powers. So I'm not going to revisit that. I'm sorry, guys. I cannot pull the trigger on Washington there. I just can't do it. Can't do it. Not going to do it. Teaser legs, you guys know that's been the most profitable thing for me this season. In the contest, by the way, which is no teasers, I am, where's the record? 43-36-1, 54%. Listen, not my best year, not my worst, but disappointing because you obviously you can't do teasers in this. The teaser legs that make the most sense, I like teasing Dallas down. I can't see a scenario where Arizona wins this game. I will add, though, Arizona, remember last week, without Rondale Moore, without Hopkins, obviously he's done for the regular season, but also no James Conner. Like, inside the 20, they were struggling. Inside the 30, they could do nothing. Settle for two missed field goals. Like, offensively, they struggled to keep up with the Colts. So if those guys aren't back, now Moore and Conner were practicing, I believe, Thursday in limited fashion. If they're back, well, that changes the equation. But if they're out, how on earth is Arizona going to keep up with Dallas? I don't see it. I don't see it at all. So Dallas is in all my teaser legs. I like New Orleans as a teaser for sure. Seems like it's going to be Taysom Hill against Sam Darnold. Ooh, feel the excitement. And the third teaser, I probably should go back to the Chargers, but I'm not going to for now. Well, let's see what comes up with the Chargers Sunday player-wise. Remember, they were down a ton of guys against the Texans. I knew they were down a bunch of guys. I don't know they were going to be down like 19 dudes. And they just couldn't stop anybody on Texas. So I don't trust Drew Lock at all. So I don't think it'll matter if they're down a bunch of guys, but still, I need to see it. And when you get burned as badly as the Chargers did for me last week, you got to tread cautiously. And the other one is I'm taking Green Bay down in a teaser for sure. Green Bay absolutely has to come down. I don't really see them losing this game. And the way they've closed games the last 2 weeks has concerned me, okay? Against the Ravens in the fourth quarter, they went into an offensive shell and what blew a 14-point lead and nearly lost the game. And then against the Browns, again, same deal. Offense lacking punch or playing conservative. All this hype about LaFleur being a great coach. Just, if you want, go on YouTube and look up the fourth quarters of Packers-Browns and Packers-Ravens. And you can just see an offense that's like disinterested, afraid to push the ball down the field. And lo and behold, here comes the underdog storming to the back door for the backdoor covers. Could Minnesota do that? Certainly with Dalvin Cook. Now, it looks like Jaire Alexander will be back for the Packers to go up against Justin Jefferson. That's going to be exciting, although that's a tough first game back for Alexander. And maybe they put him on the other side of the field because there's no Thielen. So you just lock down one half the field with Alexander, double-team Jefferson, and say, go ahead, Kirk Cousins in primetime, beat us. That's the Sunday night game. I've joked about I wouldn't trust Kirk Cousins to walk my dog if I was on vacation. I wouldn't trust him to win a primetime game against the Packers on the road. So Green Bay tees down, that's automatic. Now, the one game that I bet that this number is going to be moving, I'm on the Rams against Baltimore on the road. And a lot of people are going to be scared off the back-to-back road games. But, the closer you look at this Lamar Jackson, I don't think he has a chance of playing. And the market's telling you he's probably not going to play. I want to remind you guys, when the Rams visited Green Bay, the Rams were favored, okay? Think about this. Rams were favored at Green Bay by 1.5. Green Bay goes to Baltimore against Tyler Huntley. They're favored by 9. So what should the Rams be against Tyler Huntley? Well, certainly not 3.5 or 4 or 4.5 or even 5. It's got to be closer to 7-9, right? So I think this number is going to continue to tick up. It is back-to-back road games for the Rams and McVay. That can be a troublesome spot. But I'm riding with the Rams. I got them early in the week. I don't really know what they are on the contest line, but I'm almost certainly going to be on the Rams in the contest. The other ones, I know this is, if you were looking for the grossest pick on the board that absolutely nobody is going to talk about, that none of your friends are going to want, it's the New York Giants in Chicago. Trust me, I know the Giants are bad. I mean, listen, I've faded them plenty. Mike Glennon, Jake Fromm, like it's a joke, okay? That being said, just humor me. Okay, the 4-11 Giants, humor me and go look at their this losing streak who they've lost to. They lost to the Eagles, who are a playoff team. They lost to the Cowboys, who are a playoff team. They lost to the Chargers, who are a playoff team probably, right? Chargers are good. They're going to be a playoff team. Miami Dolphins, 20-9, did not cover. Miami's in the playoff mix. I can take dumps on them all I want. They're in the playoff mix. They beat the Eagles. They lost to the Buccaneers. The other teams they played in this stretch, this is a brutal stretch if you look at it. The Raiders, who they beat, And that was right after, I think, the rug situation. So they got fortunate there. And then the Chiefs, when the Chiefs were struggling, they lost by three. Before that, the last time they played a bad team, they smashed Carolina 25-3. Is Chicago a good team? No. Can the Giants win this? Certainly. Should Nick Foles and Nagy be six-point favorites against anybody? No. I think we're going to see Giants money here. And I would not be surprised at all if the New York Giants stunned the Bears and won this. It would be very Chicago and Nagy to go into Seattle, win on a two-pointer with the third-string quarterback in Foles, come home and lose to the Giants, wouldn't it? I mean, that's what this is lining up as. So I would look long and hard at the New York Giants. If you want a gross underdog, that's the one that I like on the board. I can't really make a case for some people like Washington. This is not a huge one, and we talked about that game. Absolutely no chance I'm touching Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville against Bill Belichick. And, you know, the other intriguing game, of course, Miami-Tennessee, which we kind of talked about with Brad Power. So those are the games. Maybe next week and in the playoffs, we'll obviously break down every single game in granular detail. But it's been a good gambling season, obviously, for the pod. I don't want to tease too much, but next week we may have a certain sponsor stepping into the room that has to do with money. I'll leave it there. Have a happy new year, everybody. Be safe out there. You know, New Year's Eve, my dad always likes to say it's amateur hour. That's when the amateurs go out and party hard. I remember in my 20s in New York City, New Year's Eve, it's kind of fun, but it was never amazing. And even outside of your 20s, when you're hanging with you, New Year's Eve was never like off the hook incredible, at least that I remember it. Because it was always like, there's just so many people, the crowds are massive everywhere, and it's like, is this that fun? You know? So you guys have a safe one. I will be back on Monday. Very excited to start 2022. Let's crush it. We'll talk to you then.